tackling the issues that shape our state. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
This Monday, first off, Merry Christmas to every single one of our listeners out there. You're stuck with me till Christmas. You're stuck with, I already burned up a lot of my vacation days, so I'm here on with a live show today, tomorrow, and Christmas Eve, and then we'll have a special best of program for you on Christmas Day, and then the show is back live Friday. Scott Aspenlider covering Friday's show. John Jackson, the Joker from X, will be in a little bit next week, and then, boom, it's already the first of the year. And then I'll be here live with you for January 2nd, which is, I think, Friday of next week. Because it's a holiday week, usually we get a lot of people that are listening in. In fact, sometimes people that listen in even more because they got a little more time on their hands or they're traveling. And so they're downloading, you know, podcast audio from the Montana Talks app or from the KJJR app or something like that. Or they're listening live a little bit longer because they got more time now. But people typically don't call in as much during the holidays. So we've got a lot of great guests that are going to be lined up over the next few days. But whenever we do have some gaps here and there, certainly want to let you know that we've got the phone lines open for you. In fact, we've got the phone lines open right now. If you got something you want to talk about, you got something you want to kick off the week with, give us a ring, 406-294-0970, or you can message us on the Montana Talks app. Next hour of the program, we're going to have Montana's Speaker of the House, Brandon Lear, kick off the show with us, plus Judge Dan Wilson. Flathead County District Judge Dan Wilson, also a great candidate for the Montana Supreme Court, running for a seat to serve as a justice on the Montana Supreme Court. He's got some legal topics that he wants to weigh in on, so that'll be coming up in the next hour of the show as well. And if we got a little extra time, we'll have some of my conversation with Attorney General Austin Knutson talking about that big drug bust in St. Regis, Montana, that also included 41 deportation arrests recently as well. First topic I thought we could get to here in this 8 o'clock hour of the show. I just got a message on X. It came from one of our listeners in Eureka. Goes by the name Free Northman, Free Northman up north in Eureka, on X. And he sent this question. Did you see all the Georgia election information coming out? As if we didn't all already know all of this. No courts would hear the proof. Corrupt judiciary. So what I did see and what I did share on X over the past couple of days, I know Elon Musk has been sharing some very interesting information. I've got two different posts on X here. I've been trying to find like a good conservative news website source, somebody that can break down what is coming out of Georgia in a good, credible manner. I haven't seen any solid, reliable news stories yet, but there is solid, reliable information that I've gathered on X from people like Mike Benz. Remember Mike Benz, who served in the U.S. State Department and then exposed this whole USAID scandal? Well, he is weighing in on this massive scandal regarding Georgia and the 2020 elections. Wait till you hear this.
It's December 22nd, and this is your Fox Daily Snapshot. Today is Forefathers Day. It is designed to remember the landing of the Pilgrim Fathers in the Massachusetts area of Plymouth in December 1620. The observance introduced in 1769. Richard Reed tries to destroy a passenger airliner by igniting explosives hidden in his shoes aboard American Airlines Flight 63 in 2001. A tsunami slams Indonesia's Sunda Strait in 2018, killing over 400 after part of the Krakatoa volcano slips into the sea. Born on this day, Texas Senator Ted Cruz.
I think a lot of people across this country are really having buyer's remorse.
American singer-songwriter Meghan Trainor in 1993. Known for her hit song, All About That Bass. I'm CJ Papa, that's your Fox Daily Snapshot.
Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors.
Those jelly heads in June would be intellectual warriors by August.
Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search our names, Clay and Buck. Listen and subscribe. At Renewal.
Talking about the issues that matter to Montana statewide. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, so here you go. First off, we got a great caller on the phone lines. I'll get to here in just a second. But this is the news that I am gathering out of Georgia. You guys remember what a big deal Georgia was in the 2020 presidential election? And all of the election interference that we saw from the left-wing media, all the other shenanigans that we saw during the 2020 elections. But boy, I tell you what, if you were a lawyer representing Donald J. Trump, they wanted to throw his lawyers behind bars. Remember how they went after Rudy Giuliani? The same liberal Democrats that love the lawyers that defend terrorists. The same liberal Democrats that love the lawyers who defend illegal aliens deported to El Salvador, boy, they wanted to lock up the lawyers that were a part of President Trump's team raising very important questions during the 2020 elections. Mike Benz on X, at Mike Benz Cyber. He is the guy who went on the Sean Ryan show and fully exposed this USAID scandal, right? This is what Mike Benz said on X just 2 days ago. Joe Biden won Georgia by 11,779 votes. Now, over 5 years later, they admit 315,000 votes in Georgia were actually counted illegally. Brianna Lyman, he was reposting something from her on X, and you might recognize her name. She is a correspondent for The Federalist. She says this, massive scandal, Fulton County. And by the way, there's a story at thefederalist.com. Okay, if I would have clicked on the full link before, I would have seen that. Anyway, there's a story in thefederalist.com. Fulton County, Georgia admits they violated the rules in 2020 when they certified 315,000 early votes that lacked poll workers' signatures, saying, quote, "We won't dispute the allegation." The Secretary of State also found out that Fulton County violated official election processes. Well, surprise, 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 right, Gomer? My goodness. Now, this one, I think this was reposted on X by Elon Musk. This comes from Fisher King. Remember, Trump was indicted for pressuring Georgia Secretary of State Brad Raffensperger to investigate election integrity in his state, and that this was linked with his impeachment. Kind of looks like Trump was right and was punished for asking appropriate questions. Hans Mankey, who is the author of Swift Voting America, he wrote this, a 5 years too late admission that Georgia illegally certified 315,000 ballots in the 2020 election, handing Joe Biden a win by just 11,779 votes, is not a small detail. It is a historic breach of democratic accountability. The fact that President Trump eventually won re-election does not erase what was done. He was vilified, canceled, and relentlessly prosecuted for stating what has now been acknowledged as true all along. If this passes without consequence, it will eventually be looked back on as the moment when inaction, not the wrongdoing itself, became the defining failure of democracy. That was from Hans Mankey on X. Tim and Savage on the phone lines with us right now. Tim, I know you called in about another topic, which we'll get to here in a second. But, man, what about this news, right?
So we lied, but it's, yeah, we lied. That's all they want to say. And they just want to move on. It's like there's nothing to be done about it. You know, and there are people on the right who are getting quite upset with Trump and the Trump DOJ that how come there haven't any more arrests? How come there aren't people in prison over this stuff? You know, and, oh, well, it's just 300,000 votes. But all you hear is muzz. Like, there's nothing to happen. And it's an extreme voter fraud. It's the same thing as what's going on with the fraud in Minnesota. And it's like, well, there's white guys that stole money, too. And so we just sweep it under the rug. And it's like, the twisting and turning and just blatant lying about things is, you know, it's enough to put a pastor over the edge.
Yeah, God, I hear you. Well, by the way, speaking of Pastor Tim here in Savage, I was just flipping through social media, and I saw, for some reason, the front page of the Williston Herald ends up in front of me here. I want to get to that story in a second. But first, you know whose voice I was hearing when I was sharing this Georgia election news from 2020? Harry Reid. Former Democrat, you know, he was Chuck Schumer before Chuck Schumer became the leader, Harry Reid. Well, it worked, didn't it? And that's what these Democrats and these never-Trumpers are thinking. Eh, we lied, we got away with it, and then we tried to prosecute the people who dared to question us, but it worked, didn't it?
And the same thing is, they figured it out. And that is that all you have to do is you just go out and lie. And lie all you want. It gets the headlines. It gets the spin. Gets everybody all worked up. And if you do apologize, that gets buried. And it's somewhere. It's on page 16E underneath the legal notifications. And you don't see it. You don't hear it all. But they've accomplished exactly what they wanted to do. They wanted to get that lie out there and get people all worked up on it. And so now, and they believe this. I mean, it's the same thing on the panty raid at Mar-a-Lago. Is that okay? Well, Trump is doing okay. What did he supposedly violate? Even if he had, it was presidential records. I mean, it's not like he had the nuclear.
It's just like the whole COVID scam altogether. They went after the people that dared raise important questions instead of the crooks who pushed the scam from beginning. Hold that thought, Tim. We'll come back to you next.
The week ahead.
Monday, the United Nations Security Council meets to discuss Sudan, and UPS rates will go up an average of 5.9% starting this day. Tuesday, the Kennedy Center Honor Ceremony airs on TV. It's also the last day for Whataburger's 12 Days of What a Cheer daily deals for rewards members. Wednesday, it's Christmas Eve, which means the NORAD Call Center opens to track Santa Claus and his progress. You can go online or call 877-HI-NORAD, that's H-I. And Walmart offers one-hour delivery until 5 p.m. local time. Thursday, Merry Christmas, ho, ho, ho. Pope Leo XIV will give a Christmas Day Mass at St. Peter's Basilica. A lot of stores will be closed for the holiday, including Target, Walmart, Trader Joe's, and Chick-fil-A, as well as Cracker Barrel, Olive Garden, and more. So if you want to eat, you can go to Red Lobster. Friday, Canada will be imposing new limits on steel. Over in the UK, it's Boxing Day. It's also the first day of Kwanzaa. And that's a look at your week ahead. I'm Tom Graham, Fox News.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, back to it here with Tim Savage. Yeah, I know he called in to talk about something else entirely, but I knew he was going to want to weigh in on that Georgia news as well. And then, yet again, Tim, I got to talk about something else. I got to pat you on the back here. You are such a great public servant and community servant. I'm flipping through Facebook, and I see, for some reason, the Williston Herald shows up. And it's the front page of the Williston Herald. And they'll cover a lot of Montana news because they're right there on the border of, you know, the Mondakistan border. But I see this headline, Savage joins national effort to honor veterans. And, of course, everybody across Montana now knows where Savage is because of you and your great phone calls. But then I look at the photo. Here it is, the Reverend Dr. Tim Tharp, pastor of First Lutheran Church in Savage, spoke during the Wreaths Across America event at Riverview Cemetery in Savage. So thanks for what you're doing to continue to honor, you know, those who have served this country, especially during the holidays, Tim.
Well, it was a real honor to be asked to help out with that, and so I put together a service. I think I sent you the link to it. I had one of my parishioners who actually was there, and she recorded the whole thing, and it's about 8 minutes long. Might have been 12 to 15 if it hadn't have been so blasting cold that day. But it was an honor to be able to speak at that and be able to present it. And I'd heard about REITs Across America before, and then our one of my parishioners is the head of the cemetery board, and when she was reached out and asked about it, she said, well, yeah, let's do it, and then got a hold of me and Gene Ronigan, who's one of my key contacts with the VFW Post, and then, of course, we met at a partner project with the VFW Auxiliary, and it was just an honor to be able to be part of that, and just a great organization, and I really encourage people to check into that if they're not familiar with it.
Well, before I get to my next guest here on the phone lines, give me what you called in about. I think you might have messaged me this on X as well. I think this could be like one of the woke updates of the week here.
It's two things, actually. It's progressive churches in Colorado and Washington hosting drag nativity and Christmas shows, and it starts off progressive churches. You know, they're reimagining, and so what they're doing is they're twisting it and just horribly twisting scripture, and it is insulting to anybody who is a Christian and looking at this and these. The way that they've also in other places with the nativity scenes. And it just makes me sick. I see a church in Texas, a nativity scene depicting Mary, Joseph, and Jesus as modern day immigrants locked in a metal cage wrapped in barbed wire. If you actually know the story, they weren't immigrants. They went home. They went home for the census. That's what they were called to do. They weren't immigrants traveling, and these poor, you know, like the Somali immigrants or narco-terrorist immigrants, they were going home for the census. They were not in danger at all. And so I don't understand it. You know, of course, yes, after Jesus was born, then Herod wanted to kill the baby. You know, of course, there was danger after that, but it wasn't because they were immigrants. And I'm looking at a scene right now. Now, as barbed wire, and it has Mary and Joseph standing over it, and of course behind it is this church with the rainbow painted steps, and it's just disgusting. Oh, and it's twisting the religion around to make it something it absolutely is not.
Every time I see all of these left wing churches, you know, twisting the rainbow into this radical far left LGBTQ trans agenda or whatever, I just think of how many times the Bible warns and talks about how there will be false prophets, so many false prophets being propped up across America, unfortunately, at this time. Tim, Merry Christmas to you and yours. Thanks so much for calling in. Hopefully we hear from you again before Christmas, but thanks so much for calling in. All right, next up, we're going to transfer into our phone lines here. It's always great to have Brian Massard with us from Reminisce Angus Ranch. Brian, Merry Christmas. What's life like on the ranch as you head into the Christmas and New Year's holidays here?
Life on the ranch is like Seattle. It's snowing and raining every day. I don't know where I am.
and there's no real vacation when you're a rancher, right?
No. Yesterday was Sunday, and we had a bull that's been stuck in the hills and wouldn't come out, and we finally spotted him, and after going up several times, it's been a couple hours Sunday afternoon walking him out of the hills, and now I'm taking him in.
Why didn't you just leave his ass out there? Why did you pull him in?
We did. We left him out there for 2 months. He was getting close. We didn't spend a lot of energy, but we had our odds were great yesterday, so we went for it.
That's awesome. Well, I'll tell you what, you know, a lot of our listeners have heard about your great beef products, your jerky, your steaks, your ground beef, your beef bacon, you name it. With Christmas now, 3 days away, I can't think of a better gift to give than Montana beef for Christmas. Or if you got a New Year's Eve party, pick up some Montana beef along the way.
Absolutely. Give the gift of health. I mean, give something healthy instead of a dozen cookies or sugar or something that people are going to, it's in front of them all the time for the next 2 weeks. Give them a healthy gift. Give them something they can eat all they want and lose weight on.
Yeah, I tell you that having that Montana beef, I mean, it is the ideal protein. It's the original superfood, all those nutrients in there, the protein you got, and even the fat is healthy. And finally, the country is waking up to something you've been preaching about for quite some time now. How close are we when it comes to the whole saturated fat issue with the Make America Healthy Again agenda?
Very close. In fact, we just had a conference call last week, an update. I can't share the specific details, but we have another call this week lining out the final details of how it's going to be rolled out. But it's the dietary guidelines, the changes coming are revolutionary, and it will make people healthy again. It will make farming and ranching real sustainability, not the global definition of sustainability. That's all a joke to get people under control. But real sustainable markets is when you stop lying to people about saturated fat being healthy, and the American Heart Association stops killing people by telling them not to eat saturated fat. We're moving forward.
Yeah, it's huge. I saw there was a big MAHA announcement press release last week or the week before, and I was really hoping it would have been the saturated fat one, but maybe that's something to look forward to in the new year and the year ahead. But before we get to anything else here, Brian Massard, for people that want to pick up some of your Reminisce Angus Ranch products, actually on Friday's show, I spoke with the crew from the Yellowstone Gift Box Company, and they were, you know, they have all these made in Montana products that they put into their gift baskets. Reminisce Angus beef is some of the products they include in their gift baskets. So that was kind of cool. Where else can people find your products?
The best way is remangus.com. You can get anything on our website. But there's local stores. You can ask your local stores from Billings all the way to Dillon, Missoula, the Bitterroot. There's lots of stores that have our jerky, beef sticks, kielbasas, breakfast sausage, and there's a ton of little stores like that all across Montana. Just ask for Reminisce Angus, and they'll help you out.
Yeah,
we're gaining traction. We just sent got our first order from Washington, D.C. on a 100-year-old place back there. Wagshall's is bringing in Reminisce Angus beef because they've heard about it.
Was that a restaurant?
Well, they have restaurants, and then they prepare. They're like a further processor. They kind of make their own barbecue, their own deli meat for several other restaurants. Plus, they have their own. I think they have six of their own restaurants back there in Pennsylvania, Massachusetts, New Jersey, and D.C.
Interesting. I wonder how they heard about you. But you've been making trips to the White House. You've been meeting with the Ag Secretary. So, yeah, I wonder how they heard about you. Always fun to hear how those connections are made.
Yeah, well, they heard there's our supplier that takes all of our middle meats, all of our steaks, like to the Heist and to the Four Seasons and Jackson and all down to Aspen Vale. He ran into him at Four Seasons, the restaurant in Jackson Hole, Wyoming, and they just started visiting. And the guy was looking for another source, and Steve Huff, our guy from Prairie Harvest, said, if you're going to bring in beef, if you're going to bring in Angus beef, there's only one place to go get it and have it consistent year-round. In a place like yours, it's just a high-end place. You got to have it consistent. So he called me and gave me an order, and so we're shipping two pallets of meat to him.
That's pretty cool. You know, I was in D.C. a couple months ago with Jesse Ramos and Americans for Prosperity Montana, and we had such a good, productive trip. Jesse said, hey, Aaron, let's go to that steakhouse that President Trump and his cabinet went to a while back. It was this steakhouse right, I think it's called Joe's Seafood, if I remember, right by the White House. Holy cow. I mean, we had incredible steak. They had like a bone marrow butter. It was a bone marrow butter. And I'm like, yeah, throw it on there. What the heck? I've had bone marrow before, like as a snack in Missoula. There was a steakhouse there. Because this bone marrow is a big thing. Beef bone marrow is like the big hot thing in a lot of these steakhouses now.
It is. Now they're taking those femur bones, and they call them canoes. They'll cut them in half, and then they'll bake them. They'll put Parmesan, rosemary, salt, and pepper on there. And it's so healthy because 30% of bone marrow is just straight saturated fat.
So that's what makes it so healthy. And then it's got all those nutrients in there. It's just like when if you have your stock that you're making from your turkey or something like that, a similar concept, right, is that you pull all those nutrients out when you boil the bones down, right?
Yes, absolutely.
It's kind of like we're going back to the common sense that people on the prairie understood, 100, 200 plus years ago, right? Where they did these things because they knew that it was, A, the right thing to do, is the efficient thing to do, but they also knew it was the healthier thing to do. And now we're kind of going back to that common sense.
We are. We're having to claw back and fight for that. I mean, it's almost like a right. 10, 12 years ago, I first heard in a meeting that the public has given us a social license to operate. Which means that comes straight from the UN, which means the public will decide if we can farm and ranch, how we can farm and ranch. And so you have any meeting, any association, any organization that you're dealing with, and this is coming around right now, anytime the leadership presents to you that we have a social license from the public to operate, throw them out, get them out.
and move on, because we don't need people who don't know where food comes from telling us how to raise their food. And well, there's a small elite group, same group, that controls that. They don't care where food comes from. They just have enough money to go buy it.
Well,
we're,
said.
We're kind of done with them.
Brian Massard, Reminis Angus Ranch, Dillon, Montana. Check out his products and more. Go to remangus.com, remangus.com. Brian, Merry Christmas to you and yours. Always great to have you on the show.
Merry Christmas, Aaron. Have a great week. See ya.
All right, you too. We'll catch up with you in the new year, if not before then. All right, another quick break on the show here. I think we've got another guest coming up after this. If not, we'll let you know to call in.
Montana Talks, uniting the Treasure State, one conversation at a time. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
All right, great to have our friend Henry Kriegel, Deputy State Director for Americans for Prosperity Montana, back with us here for our regular update. And, of course, this segment brought to you by AFP Montana. Henry, man, it'd be really fun. Here we are at the end of the year to do a 2025 year in review, looking at everything you guys accomplished this past year, or everything that, you know, is being done all across America in this past year, frankly, under the Trump administration. And then let's look ahead to 2026. But first, a big topic you've been keeping us updated on is the SPEED Act. And a couple of things on that front. I saw Jesse Ramos, your colleague at AFP Montana, drafted a great guest opinion column that got picked up even by the New York Post. And the SPEED Act has now gotten across the finish line in the U.S. House.
Yes, it did. It passed on last week on the 18th by a close vote. It's a great bill that will limit the scope that would trigger a full environmental impact statement, and it shortens the timelines for any legal challenges. So this way, we speed up the permitting process. We speed up the ability for people to go to market with new, to start shovel-ready projects for energy development. It'll help us restore America's energy dominance, energy abundance position, which we need. That and the Permit Act, both went through. It's going to the Senate. Those are big deals. We got to streamline the permitting process. It just takes way too long to get to a shovel-ready project, sometimes up to 12 to 15 years, depending upon where in the U.S. That can't happen any longer. We've got to be energy dominant, especially with AI absorbing of all these data centers absorbing so much energy throughout the nation. We want to be a place where data centers can set up here in the state of Montana because they bring high-paying jobs. And besides that, as we approach winter, we know sometimes it can be pretty treacherous when weather goes well below into the minus. We had minus 57 degree temperature a couple of years back. We can't afford to not have energy to power our state, make sure our people are safe, and they got that which they need to thrive. So we're really happy about those two accomplishments. We hope the Senate can get that thing across the finish line, have the president sign it in 2026. And as you know, we've been doing events, not just in Montana, but all throughout the nation, to focus on the need to increase, improve our infrastructure, and to enhance our energy abundance.
Man, you said something really important there about when it comes to these data centers. Look, folks, like the data centers or not, our country needs them. Our national security apparatus needs them. They're going to get put in place. But we need the energy to be there. You need to bring more energy online so that consumers don't potentially get hit with higher prices. But electricity demand is going up across the board. That's why we've got to speed up the process with getting these energy generation projects across the finish line. So that's really important what Henry talked about there. We could talk more about this topic, but Henry, I also really want to get your take here. 2025, a year in review. Looking back on this year, you know, either what do you want to tell us about what AFP Montana accomplished or just what your organization was able to accomplish in Helena, in D.C., or both?
That's a great question. Thank you so much for that, Aaron. As you know, we ended 2024 on a really high note. We got Tim Sheehy elected. We helped get Tim Sheehy get elected to the U.S. Senate. That was a huge win. Entering 2025, we went immediately into the legislative session. And while we enjoy Republican majorities, Aaron, this is really important for all of us to understand, we don't necessarily enjoy policy majorities. That's really a critical thing for us to understand, meaning we had the biggest budget increase in the history of the state of Montana, 13.5%. That's what HB2 did. That bill funds state operations. We did not get any real significant judicial reform bills passed through the legislature. We denied judicial candidates the right of association to declare their party affiliation. And why is that the case? Because, again, we have some moderates who vote with the Democrats who will form their own majority in the legislature. And three separate bills that would have allowed for judicial candidates to declare their party affiliation, to affirm their right of association, and to provide voter information. Because you and I both know, if a judicial candidate aligns itself with the Republican Party, they're more likely to be constitutionalists and textualists and not activists. So really key issue. I know you're talking to Speaker of the House, Brandon Lehr, and I'd love to hear from the Speaker what his plans are for the next legislative session, because it's going to be tougher now that you got two constitutional initiatives likely to get on the ballot that would deny the constitutional right of free association of these candidates.
Well, that's a really good question. And frankly, like, what's he going to do or not do during the legislative primary election season to ensure that you get some good, you know, legislators elected or reelected that will help get some of these key things like judicial integrity and judicial reform across the finish line? Great question. That probably brings us into a look ahead to 2026. What are your priorities going to be here in Montana and then maybe nationally as well?
That's also another great question. Thank you, Aaron, for that. We're continuing with our what we call our accountability program here in the state of Montana, meaning we're coming out with a legislative scorecard. I know it's a little late in the season, but we've been working on it very assiduously. We'll have that scorecard out very soon. We've been holding some legislators accountable on some of their votes. That will continue for a while because that's our job. We like to have sunshine and transparency on our legislature so that their constituents know how they really voted versus what they said they would do if when they got elected. Really critical. Beyond that, we're taking a look at, you know, the upcoming elections. There's never been in my 30-plus years in the state of Montana, Aaron, so much interest in elections or in elections as a whole so early in the season. There's so much focus on it right now and so much interest in people considering running or not running or whatever. We're going to take a close look at that. We're in the process, made no decisions at this point, but we're looking to engage in the primaries. Those decisions will be made in the upcoming weeks, months, but soon. Obviously, it's got to be soon because the cutoff for the primaries will start in earnest at the filing deadline on March 4th. It'll be a very short 90-day window for a hard campaign. A lot of these races will be decided in the primaries, especially in some of the red districts and all the red districts in particular. So if we want to make an impact, that's the time to do it, is during the primaries.
Well, and going back to two here, great recap 2025, great look ahead on 2026. Going back to the Speed Act and Jesse Ramos in this guest opinion column in the New York Post, what I really loved about that, Henry, is it's a reminder of everything you're doing, everything we're doing. You know, Jesse talked about growing up as a kid in Libby, Montana, and about a lot of those opportunities that aren't there for kids growing up in Libby anymore. You know, in Libby, they used to have 3,000 kids in the public schools. They're down to 1,000 kids in their public schools right now. And really, if we deliver the type of economy that provides opportunities for young people coming up, it's going to get more kids in those schools. They're going to have high-wage job opportunities awaiting them on the backside in things like mining and timber and other manufacturing.
Oh, I agree with you. That was a brilliant piece that Jesse wrote for the New York Post, and it's getting some play here in the state of Montana. It's based upon his excellent speech given at the Governor's Energy Summit here in Bozeman that occurred on October 11th through the 12th, talking about how the denial of permitting up there in Libby, I believe it was for a copper mine, resulted in the loss of many great high-paying jobs. And that town, falling marginally in wages and income, and the impact on his community has been profound. And that's just a microcosm of a larger problem we see not just around the state of Montana, but around the United States as a whole.
That's right.
And so, we got to get back to these jobs. Right. Job creation that the energy sector can provide.
It's about reindustrializing America, reindustrializing Montana, and providing these high-wage jobs that is so much has been taken down by left-wing federal judges. And now we're seeing some of these attacks by our state liberal judges as well, which is why the judicial piece is so important. Henry Kriegel, Deputy State Director of Americans for Prosperity Montana, always a pleasure. Merry Christmas to you and yours. Thanks for your time.
Well, Merry Christmas to you, Aaron. Take care.
All right, you too. And I think we'll catch up with you again here over the weeks ahead. So we're looking forward to it. All right, coming up right after this, the Democrats refuse to release their 2024 autopsy results.
Waking up on the right side. This is the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
The Social Security money that you paid into your entire working life, they told you would be put in a lockbox and that the people in Washington would never touch it. And it would be there for you, growing with interest for when you retire. And that's your money. And yet we now know that they raided that lockbox and they squandered that money. And now we have to worry about the insolvency problem and the future of Social Security, the same with Medicaid and Medicare. You know, states and the federal government, they're headed towards insolvency. You know, again, promises made by government officials to take away all of your stress, all of your fear in life, and it doesn't work.
From coast to coast, from sea to shining sea, it's the Sean Hannity Show.
Hey, you've heard me talk about Ease, the official health solution right here on the Sean Hannity Show. Now that all the noise about Obamacare subsidies is thankfully behind us, at least for now, I want you and your family to focus on the best health care for the best price. Now, Ease Total Comprehensive Health is great for small business owners, and it also is better coverage for a lower price than what they're offering from the government. It's not insurance, it's better. It has no deductibles, no out-of-network nonsense. It costs much less than traditional plans. It comes with a free service that will help everyone find the best care. Plus, the folks that distribute Ease will show you how to stay compliant with the ACA. Now, if you own or work for a small business, you got to check out this company. You owe it to yourself. You owe it to your family. You owe it to your employees. Call them now, 888-888-EASE-123. Or go to their website, EASEFOREveryone.com/Sean. 888-EASE-123.
Securing America.
During his year-end news conference Friday, Secretary of State Marco Rubio spoke about the United States visa program and why it's important to carefully review both applicants and those already here on visas.
Who you allow to visit your country should reflect the national interest.
The secretary said that if people commit crimes while in the U.S. on a visa, the Trump administration will continue to revoke the permission to be in the country.
The law gives us the right, and in fact, I would argue the obligation, to remove people like that.
Rubio also agreed with the decision to suspend the visa lottery program that granted the suspect in the Brown University shooting a visa in 2017.
It's because you want to determine whether there's something in the vetting of that program that's insufficient. Is there a systemic problem in how those decisions are made?
The secretary added, there are many reasons visas are not approved to begin with.
But all of them are because it implicates our national interest or national security in some way.
Kevin Uitzke, Fox News. Farm.
Broadcasting live across the big sky, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Hey, if you call in right now, we should be able to sneak you on before we run out of time. 406-294-0970. Like I say, call in right now. We should be able to sneak you on before we run out of time. In the meantime, I wanted to talk about the autopsy report. Remember after the 2024 elections and the Democrats got trounced? They were going to do this big autopsy. They were going to try to, you know, fix things. They were going to try to turn away from the crazy woke agenda. Well, they've done the autopsy, but they don't want to share the autopsy results, apparently. Here is Johnny Joey Jones on the Big Weekend Show on Fox.
I think this autopsy only matters because they came out and made a big deal about it after the election, because they lost so bad they had no choice. So they made promises right after the election to try to calm the tides, and now they're being asked to fulfill those promises. I'm like, no, we don't need to re-examine that because it's bad for us, and they're probably right.
Molly, I remember when the Republican Party had to do one of these autopsies. I believe it was after 2012. Mm-hmm. They did an autopsy, and I think Trump was the answer to the death, right? I think he revived the party. He created a whole new movement that the party hopefully will stick with. But Democrats here, they don't want to release it. They think that their victories here with Mamdani and in New Jersey and Virginia are good enough. Why waste time going over the past?
Yeah, I think the problem here is they made the promise and then didn't deliver on it. And then
they never do that, Molly.
The other thing, too, is that I think it'll eventually leak.
All right, yeah, will the autopsy eventually release? Look, why does anybody have to even see the autopsy results? Why does anybody even have to see it? We know it was because of their support for this illegal alien invasion and the radical transgender agenda. They went woke, they got broke, but they still want to keep going woke. And they're still defending all the illegal aliens that they allowed into this country. So why would they release the autopsy results when they want to, you know, keep supporting the same policies that that led to the death of their party in 2024 in the first place? Joyce in Bozeman, thanks for the call. Joyce, what's your thoughts?
You know, my thoughts are all of media, and I'm not going to say you, but I would say some on your station, are pumping out that the Republicans are going to lose the midterms, that Trump is on a bad road. That, you know, I mean, even Republicans in Congress and in the Senate are saying that. I think it's ridiculous. We, as Republicans, need to be pumping out that he's doing a great job. We need to be fighting their words, not mimicking them.
No, I think you're exactly right. Well, I think partly what they're doing is they're getting the word out that look, if we don't show up, if Trump voters do not show up in the midterms, yeah, all that has been gained will be lost. So I think they're right to make that point.
Absolutely.
But your bigger message
is but we should not be making it. We should be saying, we're getting out there. Everyone get out there. We should not be saying, oh, it's doom and gloom. No.
Exactly.
We need to, you know, we're having one of the best years we've had in quite a while, and we need to be out there talking about it.
You're exactly right. More needs to be done. We're not going to discount that, but we have got to champion all of these incredible accomplishments that Team Trump delivered this past year alone. No tax on Social Security. How many times have people called in and complained about that on this very show? Trump just delivered that at the federal level. You know, no tax on tips. I mean, we're going to see the results of a lot of this stuff really start to kick in next year as well.
Yeah, and that's just it. It hasn't kicked in yet, so nobody gets it. So we need to keep pumping that out there. Stop talking about, oh, we're going to lose the midterms. Come on.
Is
anybody really going to vote?
I just shared a.
Are they going to vote for what we've had for the past 4 years?
Are people really going to vote for the party that is calling, you know, our great federal law enforcement officers at ICE the Gestapo and calling them Nazis? Like, why would you vote for that trash that would trash these great American public servants? By the way, Joyce, thanks for the call. I did just share a story at x.com/Aaron Flint. A new Breitbart story, polls show Democrats losing ground for the 2026 midterms. That's the Real Clear Politics average. So they just posted that on X.
Message is for Karina. Our mom will finish her high school diploma at age 28. Hi, Mom. It's Amethyst and Nicholas. Congratulations on getting your diploma. You worked so hard and have taught us so much. We love you.
When you graduate, they graduate. Finish your high school diploma for you and for them. Visit finishyourdiploma.org to find free and supportive adult education centers near you. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Courage. I learned it from my adoptive mom.
Hold my hand.
You hold my hand.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care at AdoptUSKids.org. You can't imagine the reward. Brought to you by AdoptUSKids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.